They will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And if you'd like to follow along with the Bible that's under your seat, it can be found on page 849. That's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
I hope I'm not out of line mentioning this. I know that it was kind of off script. Spoke to Andrew Davis just a couple days ago, and he's been given special orders to report soon. It's preliminary to Quantico, Virginia. But I didn't know you were part of the FBI. But that's going to happen very soon. And I know Andrew's with us this morning. You remember, he's the one that wanted to be the black cop. How's that working out for you, Andrew? We want to keep that in our minds and in our thoughts and prayers, and that God be with him as he makes that journey to Virginia. The Apostle Paul commissions us to preach the gospel in season and out of season, 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and in verse 2. Guess what season it is? Guess what everyone in the religious world is talking about this time of the year? We're talking about the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ encompasses the glorious message of the gospel, brethren. It does. And the details surrounding the birth of Jesus is no small thing. The Bible has a lot to say about Jesus' coming and his life and his death, his resurrection unto us. With that being the case, do we celebrate it as a religious holiday? Absolutely not. We do not. Why not? Remember, we're people of the book. We're the ones that say book, chapter, and verse. Please. We are Bible-believing people, and we do things by Bible-believing ways, and as the Bible instructs. Christmas is not a God-ordained holiday. It's a man-made holiday. If you were to approach a first-century apostle and say to them, Merry Christmas, they would look befuddled and confused at such a greeting. However, would they engage in dialogue? Would they wonder, what in the world is he talking about? What is this Merry Christmas thing that you're expressing? Folks, do you remember when the Apostle Paul was in Athens, not Ohio? Actually, I wish he were in Athens, Ohio. He could do a lot of effective preaching there, especially around Halloween. Apostle Paul was there in Athens, Acts chapter 17, and you remember as he entered into the city of Athens, the scriptures tell us, Luke records for us, that his spirit was provoked within him. Why was his spirit provoked? I get it. Because Paul had seen idols on every corner when we were in India. I remember seen temples to idols and idols set up. Very superstitious group of people. I remember it looked like a scarecrow, actually, on a lot of their homes. You're like, what is that all about? And one of our Indian friends had explained to us that they had placed this, looked like a scarecrow, up on the roof of their homes, and it was to keep the evil spirits away. You know, it was to detract the evil spirits. Very superstitious group of people. When the scriptures say that the Apostle Paul was provoked in his spirit was stirred up within him, he was agitated at that. And no doubt, Paul, as he's walking about, and the scriptures tell us he's in the synagogues first, preaching to the Jews and the Gentiles. He's sharing the glorious gospel with them. And there was a group of philosophers, Epicureans and Stoic philosophers, that overheard Paul preaching. And they wanted to know more about this God you're talking about Jesus Christ, actually. We want to know more about it. And Paul goes to a very well-known place there, the Areopagus, Mars Hill, and it's where philosophers would come. And I don't know what you would compare it to today. A cafe, maybe, where folks can just sit down, maybe have a cup of coffee, and just discuss things and talk about life. And they go to this Areopagus, Paul notices an altar to an unknown God, and he says, that God which is unknown to you, I want to proclaim him. And do you remember what Paul did? Now, I want you to follow this. Let's put our mind where Paul was at that time. Paul begins to reason to them right where they're at that particular time, their belief system at that particular time. He begins to share with them about the unknown God and how we all come from that same God, every one of us. You remember as you come on down to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, now pay attention to this. Paul took something that was common knowledge unto them at that particular time, and he uses it as a reference point, a talking point, to share the gospel. He says, some of your own poets have given credence to the fact that we are all the offspring of God. You see, these were uninspired men writing, discussing something that they were well aware of. And Paul says, I'm going to take something that you're familiar with, and even though they're uninspired men, I'm going to take something that's factual, and I'm going to allow it to be used in such a way to present the gospel. Brother, I have to believe the God that we serve is a God of opportunity. He wants us to take the opportunity that are before us to share the glorious gospel. So, I don't run from this. I don't run from this subject. I don't run from the birth of Christ. I run to the birth of Christ because I use it as an opportunity to set the record straight and as an attempt to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that's what the apostles would have done. As a matter of fact, then I base that up on what I see them doing in the first century church. Not running from things that are common knowledge. Isn't that odd that we pray for opportunities to talk about Jesus, but we're just not going to talk about it that time of the year? I want you to imagine what your fellowship is at that time when you take that attitude. You'll see that you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of atheists, a bunch of pagans, okay? People who are unfriendly to the message of the gospel. So, no, we don't celebrate it as a religious holiday at all because we don't see the first century church doing it. But we certainly can use it as a golden opportunity to share the greatest story that has ever been told and not run from it, run to it. And with that being the case, let us seize the day. Let us make the most of every opportunity to reflect on this birth of Christ and allow it to usher in a conversation about the gospel of Christ. And with that being said, let's talk about the gospel of Christ and the birth of Christ. Brother, do you know that it was indeed planned? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, you have your Bibles. Listen carefully to what Peter says there in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, he indeed, that is Christ, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who was preordained before the foundation of the world? Jesus was. His coming, His life, His love for us, His mission unto the Father and for us. We understand this. You know, we see and hear folks today advocate things that are planned all the time. Planned marriages, planned parenting. This is right. We need to be careful who we marry. We must be ready to accept those responsibilities that come along with having children. I recall, and I don't know if Vince remembers this or not, but I remember when Vince and Laura were getting married, and, you know, I remember Dawn saying to Vince with regards to Clara, is, you better start planning for a wedding now. Okay? You know, that's something that maybe we don't see until it finally sneaks up on us. But we plan ahead. We plan ahead. And according to Peter, God was mindful of Jesus' arrival, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, even before, Peter says, before creation. It was all part of God's plan to save us from our sins. Church, God has been planning our salvation since time began, or before time began. And as we dig a little further, we see that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. There is nothing that God does by accident, and certainly Jesus' arrival in that small town in Bethlehem, it was no accident. It was a part of God's plan. You know what? It was also prophesied. Remaining there in the book of Peter, in 1 Peter in chapter 1, go on back and you look at verse 10 and verse 11. Peter says, of this salvation, whose salvation through? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Some of those messengers were men like Isaiah, those prophets, and Micah. Their words were priceless to the prophets. Those words were. How else do you suppose the wise men knew where and who and what and when to look for Christ there in Matthew chapter 2? These wise men traveled from the east. It could have been Arabia. It could have been Persia, Chaldea. It could have been Parthia. When did their knowledge and interest of Jesus' birth ever come into existence? You know, the actual Greek word here for wise men is magoi, meaning astrologers. And we see this word connected with a young man who went off into captivity, you remember, as a teenager into Babylon. His name is Daniel. Anyone remember the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel? You remember what type of men Nebuchadnezzar surrounded himself with as a king? He surrounded himself with men that were magicians, Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, and astrologers. Are you connecting the dots? You see, the birth of Jesus was not only announced some 600 years before Christ's birth, but it was greatly anticipated. That's what Peter's talking about. It was greatly anticipated. It was a big deal to men like the Magoi. It was a blessed event But to men like Herod, it represented a threat to him and his power. And this leads to our next point. It was protected. God would not pre-plan Jesus' arrival, have prophets prophesying about it, then all of a sudden God allow evil men, wicked men, to thwart God's plan and kill the gospel message. And speaking of Herod, he was a very wicked king. You know, Leo Bowles, in his commentary in the book of Matthew, says the following with regards to King Herod. Listen to what he says. He says, he was an Idumean by birth. That is, he was a descendant of the family of Esau. The Edomites were also called Idumeans. This was Herod the Great. He was the son of Antipas, whom Caesar had appointed as governor of Judea. Herod was talented, unscrupulous, energetic. He managed to ingratiate himself into the favor of Augustus, and he came into possession of the kingdom, which included Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and Perea, east of the Jordan, as well as Idumea. He became by profession a Jew in religion. Although he was in no sense a Jew in heart, he hated the Jews, and he sought every opportunity to destroy them. He made and unmade priests according to his own whim. To please the Jews and to gain honor for himself, he rebuilt the temple. His list of heartless murders includes Hyrcanus and his grandfather and his wife, Miriam. He also murdered his oldest son. He invited, listen to this, he invited a number of Jewish nobles into his palace and gave secret orders that upon his death, they should put to death the people, that is the priest, so that there would be mourning throughout the land. In other words, he knew, you know, if we can stay along with this Christmas thing, he was the Grinch who sold religion in Jerusalem. And he knew nobody liked him. He knew no one cared for him. And to make sure that there's weeping and wailing and there's broken hearts when I die, kill the priests who are closest. Would you like to be a priest for him? Not me. Say, no, that's okay. I'll pass. But that's the kind of man that he was. Folks, Jesus had a bull's eye on him from birth. If men like Herod would have succeeded in killing Christ at such a young age, the blessed gospel as we know it today would have never been heard. Never been heard. So it was protected. God protected Jesus. So we have an opportunity every time we come in contact with somebody to share the gospel message, even in December, to do so. Finally, it was popular. We've already mentioned the wise men, their desire to rejoice at Jesus' arrival. But another group that gathered at that manger scene, and you can see as Luke writes for us here in Luke chapter 2, I want to take you back to verse 8 in Luke chapter 2 at this manger scene. Look, if you would, as Luke describes it for us, he says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people, even in December.'" Now, I added in the December part, but that's, you know. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Jesus was gift wrapped. "Oh, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, and they were praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him," look at verse 17, "they made widely known the saying what was told them concerning this child. They made widely known this event. No better group of individuals to select than shepherds. You know why? Shepherds were very mobile. They didn't pitch a tent up and just stay there and shepherd. They were all over the Middle East. They were all over Palestine. They were all over the Judean hills. And as these shepherds traveled about, they took with them the message of the birth of Jesus Christ. And this great salvation, as Peter had talked about in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11, they took with them the message of this salvation that has come unto us. It was popular. Brethren, we need to be and we must be the most grateful people for Jesus' birth, His life, His sinless life, His death for our sins, His resurrection that gives us hope, a living hope. You see, it was planned, it was prophesied, it was protected, and it was popular. And guess what? It still is. It still is. And rightfully so. Jesus came to save you. If He doesn't come, we have no message to offer with regards to the invitation. We just had a fanciful story. That's all we have. An urban legend. That's all we've got. We've got something more than that. I want to encourage you today, if you've not obeyed the gospel, and maybe this might be your only time that you come to services. That happens from time to time. You know, folks, you know, say, well, it's the season, and I think I'll go to church my one or maybe two times out of the year. I want to encourage you to obey the gospel today. I want you to understand something. God loves you. And He gave His one and only begotten Son to die on the cross for you so He can have a relationship with you. Not only this day, but friend, every day. Every day. You know what? Technically speaking, we celebrate His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, and the hope of heaven every day of our lives. We do. We do. So I want to encourage you to make that decision today. To obey the gospel. Come forward, repenting of your sins. Confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've strayed away from the Lord. You haven't been as faithful as what you should and you must. You haven't been living a life that honors God, and you want to do so. You want to return. If you feel we need to assist you, God needs to assist you, please come forward. Together we stand and we sing.